Okay, my tagline is why even move beyond Unix, because I'm quite happy with it, and I will show you why. The first thing, I have three major theses I'm going to present today. If my time runs out, I'm going to only show two, but the first one is that programming is like making children. Any idiot can do it, and unfortunately many do. And we should not care about making children, but about the outcome. We can't affect much. At least we have no idea how to affect the outcome much. So we just make many programs and hope the best survive. And while this works in nature, it does not work for computers, because in nature people die after a while. So in computing we have all those old bad programs around that need to be supported and integrated in new systems. So while I'm at comparing children and programs, I think we should see that this is we can apply principles from sociology to computing, and we actually do. So I say upbringing and education are very important. They are more important than actually writing the program in the first place, because the initial code is normally not that bad. So we have many bad programs, but most of them became bad after a few years when more people start to integrate stuff that wasn't meant to be there in the first place, and there was no framework to integrate in, so it got hacked on, or someone used some stapler and plugged it on the side. So later in life, the software gets hard, it gets heavier and larger, and finally it can barely move on its own, and after a while we put it in the breathing machine and put on some dialysis in the hospital. And I think that's largely the state most well-used software is in right now. So the example that came to mind this morning was the GIMP. I'm sorry, Mitch, but we can see it's mostly maintained in the last years. So they moved something from GTK 2.2 to 2.4 in the last release, and it's a new file opening dialogue, and they moved some buttons from left to right. But the application itself, it's become so large that it can't move on its own. And then, instead of killing the code, we apply the principles from real-life sociology to the code, like we don't want to kill it. We try to keep it alive, and it should just stay around, and we spend more and more effort and time just keeping it alive. And my thesis is we should rather kill bad code as soon as possible and learn from the things we did wrong. The real reason why code sucks most of the time is that software engineering is taught by people who don't write code themselves. And students don't know any better and just do what they are being told, and you can actually see that quite well in reality. I have an example on the next slide. So the next point is that in science you get the funding if you proclaim the loudest that you know how to do it better. So what happens is that we have many buzzword technologies without any real background, like object-oriented programming was a real hype. I don't know how many of you actually witnessed it. Today it's like the foundation and everyone knows it, but when it was introduced it was like a real big hype, like Java and XML, SOAP, CORBA, all of these model view controller, they have aspects that are actually useful in modern day works, but none of them could actually demonstrate that it produced better code in the end. The programs didn't improve at all, they just got bigger. And we didn't notice normally because the hardware was getting faster in a faster way than the software was getting slower. But if we want to compare the software methodology from today with the one from yesterday, we need to factor out the hardware advances. And if you do that with modern software versus old software, you see it's a really big failure all in all. And the core problem is not that we don't need how to integrate stuff, but the core problem is that even if you have the greatest tool on earth and you give it to someone who doesn't know how to use it properly, the result will suck. Case study is KDE. I'm not trying to talk down on KDE, but it's well documented for them, because in KDE 1 they tried to use CORBA because the computer science consensus at that time was that CORBA was a cool thing to do, and they had crackpot scenarios like run the scroll bar on one machine and the buttons on the other machine, and it's really ridiculous if you look at it from today. but that was actually discussed back then. And the performance sucked so bad that they dropped Corba mostly, it's still in there, but they mostly dropped it internally and wrote their own interface glue. And the same thing can be seen in other projects. GNOME had the same problems and then switched their Corba implementation to a faster one, but it still sucks. So even if you rewrite all the marshalling code and make the fastest Corba you can, you still have marshalling overhead. So you're not going to get that away. These are conceptual problems you get when you use these concepts, and you have to be aware of them. Most people aren't. So just in your head, if you say starting KDE on my home desktop machine takes about 10 seconds, and you calculate how many CPU instructions that is, it's a really mind-boggling number. It's 20 billion or so, depends on the machine you have. And much of that is waiting on disk I/O, but it's still it's amazing how much wasted effort is done in the CPU. The third theory I have is the theory of the small brain, and I say the human brain is very finite in capacity, and if you have one human programmer, you can expect him to memorize either the complete Unix API, which is the kernel API, the system calls, or about one third of the POSIX API, not counting the X11 and Motive stuff, or 1/30th of the Win32 API, and then the brain is full. So now think about the programmer in a team, for example, writing SAP applications or writing whatever, a Perl script, and above the other API, you also need the intra application APIs, and no one can memorize that. So the most obvious result of that is that we have lots of duplicated code in most projects. And it's gotten so bad that we now expect our compilers to do dead code removal. Because most programmers, when I started programming, it took me about 10 years to understand why I would want the compiler to remove dead code. Because I write the code, it's not dead. But these days, you actually need dead code removal in the compiler. What many people do about this API complexity thing is they say, we just do simple wrappers about the complex APIs. And the problem with that is that people then don't have a feeling how much dependency code they pull in their program. They use the simple wrapper and use 80% of Qt just because the wrapper is trying to be as generic as possible. This is bad for the CPU caches, bad for memory performance, but it's also bad because it's bad for the hard disk performance. If you load the whole of KDE linearly into memory from disk, it takes about 2 seconds. But if you load KDE normally, the hard disk head is moving on disk all the time because it's jumping here to this piece of code, doing some small initialization, which is a wrapper around some other initializer, and so the hard disk is moving all the time. And this was, in the beginning, it was a really great optimization to only load the code once it's used, but nowadays it's really a bad thing. Note the absence of Unix. I gave you a few slides about what's bad in the world of software development, and there is lots of things that we can complain about, but none of the problems is caused by Unix. So I agree that Unix needs to be replaced, and it has many, many downsides, and it's really bad. And there are very bright ideas of things we can do better than they are done in Unix. But instead of moving beyond Unix, we should be moving beyond the current practices in software development. We should look at what our real problems are, and the real problems are that you start your editor and you wait 10 seconds. And the problem is not that it's Unix below the editor. It would take longer on Windows. It would at least take as long on QNX or whatever you could think of. And I'm not talking about how long it would take on the herd, but you can see that when it's done next year. So the next problem is that it's often the implementation that sucks and not the idea. So the idea might be very stupid as well. There are lots of examples for that, but in many cases, the idea is not that bad, and you can save it if you re-implement one little piece. And the little piece I chose to re-implement was the standard C library, and the greatest achievement today is that you can reduce the startup latency of a small Hello World program from about 1 million CPU cycles to 200. And that's you can see the kind of savings that are possible in small details. So what I say is don't use the big picture and talk about how to better integrate SAP with Java beans, with enterprise, whatever glue, but you should take some specialists and have him run a benchmark and let him determine where the actual time is spent, and then in many cases quite miraculous savings can be done. Now I have a few party pooping slides I would only show if I have enough time.
Yeah, you have enough.
I have enough time. Okay, so the first party pooping slide is about the herd. Unix is 30 years old technology. It's correct, it's really old, but herd is based on Mach, which is 25 years old, and it implements concepts that are even older than Unix. So the last one talking about beyond Unix in my eyes is the herd. The next big thing today, besides vacuum concepts like aspect-oriented programming, is virtual machines. And I think virtual machines are basically a bankruptcy declaration for software engineering, because it shows that we don't even try to begin to write secure software. We are so sure that our programs will be unsecure that we think we need a wrapper around them that will catch the worst mistakes, and no matter how much the performance impact will be. So today the big quote about this was from my colleague here. He said, but loading the .NET framework is much cheaper than loading the Java framework. And that may be true. Let it be 10 times faster. It's still a division by zero if you look how much faster, how much slower it is than not loading any framework. So, of course, we can try to optimize away as much as we can from the frameworks, and we can make them as lean as we want, but they are still there. And the real question should be, do we need these frameworks in the first place? We used to run software in the same address space back in the days. The first Unix didn't have any memory protection. That came later. And now we are even unable to run programs on the same machine with different memory spaces and hardware memory protection. So I think this is really ridiculous, and we should be seeing this quite clearly. If we say we want to run our programs in virtual machines, we basically say we are absolutely unable to write secure software. And to make this very clear, if I say I want secure software, that is less to ask than say I want good software, because every good software is automatically secure. So we already compromise, we already settle on something less than we actually want. We actually want good software. And we should be focusing on how can we create good software, not how can we create more software in shorter time by less experienced programmers. Okay, I think the last thing I said. So the next thing, I think it's the last slide. The next thing is write runs, run everywhere. I think this is a really bad excuse for virtual machines, because if you look at the market today, you see we have actually only one CPU architecture left, which is x86, and it dominates 99.9 whatever amount of desktops. And if you look also at the embedded CPUs, you see other architectures, but they are too slow to run virtual machines. You don't want that. So if we say the target platform for virtual machines, it basically only includes x86 and maybe IA64, which is dying in the marketplace. And I think the main reason for that is not only the price and that it doesn't perform well, but that it doesn't perform well executing x86 code. So we shouldn't think of new architectures that we then emulate on x86, but we should think about how we do it well on x86. Okay, I think that's basically my slides.
Okay, thank you.